Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. I am flying solo today. Michelle is not in the studio today with us, so you're stuck just listening to me, but I'll try to talk as little as possible and let our wonderful guests talk as much as we can get them to tell us their story. So before we get to those guests, a couple of quick announcements. First, as always, we want to thank our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their grant funds to us that help pay for this show. And it helps us pay for programs to help grow small businesses in our Main Street corridor here on Rhode Island Avenue Northeast, up and down the corridor through a variety of services. So thank you to DSLBD and DHCD. And I'm going to ask once again that for those of you who may be listening from the District of Columbia or even outside of D.C., I know we've got listeners kind of all over the country these days. Thank you all for tuning in. Just remember that many of the works that organizations like Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and Rhode Island Avenue Radio do is funded by government grants from both the local and the federal level. Many of our local grants are funded with federal grant dollars. So as the federal budget gets shaped and formed and voted on, I know that many of the federal organizations that provide us grants, like Housing and Community Development, have what's called Community Development Block Grants that are specifically designed to help small, locally owned businesses grow. And some of those funds are on the chopping block. So if you, as a listener and as a patron of small businesses, as a supporter of small businesses and small business owners, if you support this type of work, please remember to let your elected officials know that you do not want to see any dollars cut from small business support programs. And that's all I will say about that today. I also had somebody actually wrote us a question, and it was I didn't print out the question, but they were asking what are some of the first steps you take when you think about opening up your own brick and mortar, and obviously you want to consult with a loan officer because you're going to have some money involved in there, and an attorney because you want to have an attorney involved in any contracts and leases you go into. But my concrete answer on that question, what do I do first when I want to open up my first brick and mortar location, is actually three things. Number one, and these are questions that you're always going to be asked. Number one, what is your timeline? Number two, is do you want to rent or buy? And number three is what is your budget and how much money do you have available? And I cannot tell you the number of times that starry-eyed entrepreneurs have called me up and said, help me find a space. I'm ready to go. I want to do this. And I ask them those three questions and they don't have answers to any of them. And You've got to have those answers ready. You got to think through that. You got to know what your budget is. You got to know how many widgets you're going to sell to make the amount of rent that you're going to be paying. Figure out what the average rent is. We can all tell you what the average rent is in our neighborhoods, and you need to figure out how much money you've got to bring in. How many donuts you got to fry, and how many subs you have to make, and the same for any industry, but It's a basic question. What's your budget? You got to look at your rent. You got to look at your payroll. You got to look at utilities. You got to look at the cost of goods sold. So be sure to do some back of the napkin scribbling and figure out what your budget is before you even think about whether or not you're ready for your brick and mortar location. Okay. Hope that helped the folks that wrote in. And if you have any questions that we may be able to answer, be sure to write us at info@riamainstreet.org. All right. It's time to check in with Casey at Good Food Market. Good morning, Casey. How you doing?
Good morning, Kyle. I'm great. How are you?
Good, good, good. How was Memorial Day?
Memorial Day was great for us. We prepared thoroughly, rain or shine, and people came through. And it was fantastic. I think everyone ended up having a really nice, warm grill day.
So, oh, the neighborhood was just full of barbecue smell. It was fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's next? What do you got new?
Yeah, so we are coming into, you know, the late spring stuff. Our summer solstice is coming up on, that must be June 21st or so. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting really excited. I've been talking to a lot of our farmers about tomatoes that they're seeing come in on the vine. So they're starting to develop there, and then they're just going to wait for those things to ripen, and we'll have them in the shop. But we still have some really good spring things coming through. The asparagus crop is here. And if you've never had fresh asparagus, speaking of grilling, you've got to get this fresh stuff and just throw it straight on the grill. It doesn't even need very much.
A little olive oil, a little salt.
And it's phenomenal.
Yep. Yep. So is it the little tiny baby skinny asparagus?
No, it's not teeny tiny baby stuff. It's pretty normal size, but it's just much more tender. You know, asparagus definitely likes to sit in water. I think some people might not know how to properly store some of their veggies, and that's one of the things that we do try and talk to our customers about whenever they purchase fresh produce, is making sure that when you take it home with you, that it's not going to rot in your fridge, right? That there are, you know, different veggies and fruits and herbs even need different care. So if you just toss, you know, your asparagus into the vegetable crisper, it's probably going to get a little slimy and those tips aren't going to stay very fresh. But if you put it standing up in either, you know, a glass of water or a small dish, you know, it's still living and it's going to slurp up that water and it's going to last you a lot longer. But I don't even know why you would have it sitting in your fridge because you should just eat it right away because it's so yummy.
Indeed. I love me some grilled asparagus. And
yeah, exactly. It's just a little bit of lemon and some butter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And,
so
you know,
good.
The fact that you guys talk to customers about how to handle their fresh produce, that's just mm-hmm. another added value of having Good Food Market here in the neighborhood. You guys are great about
that. You can't shut us up. If you come into the store and ask us a question.
You're just full of good information.
You better be prepared.
You're passionate about what you do, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, we love this food. And it's funny, as a former grower as well, to be talking about asparagus and tomatoes at the same time. You know, typically, all the guys are saying that the stuff is coming in pretty early. They're seeing the tomatoes about 3 weeks earlier than they usually do. So hopefully, you know, I'm going to have some. It's a weird crossover between spring and summer here. Like, we've got the asparagus and the garlic scapes. And, man, if you've never had garlic scapes, you've got to give them a try. There's plenty of them. But, you know, people are still trying to wrap up spring, and summer is fast approaching. So we're getting a lot of really interesting mixes in the seasonal produce here, which I think is going to make for a lot of really fun recipes. I think that you're not going to be following the traditional, you know, spring salad, summer salad. They're just so different. I think you're going to get a good overlap.
Yeah. It's climate change has a few upsides, I guess. I hate to say that.
Yeah, pretty concerned. We'll see what happens in late summer. I mean, everyone's got, you know, a lot of good growth right now, but then we'll see what happens with the weeds and the bugs midsummer. I don't think that's going to be fun for any of us.
Well, I've already got mosquitoes in my backyard, so the bugs are here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're coming out. I saw a lightning bug yesterday.
Yep.
And I was like, that's way too soon, right? I'm not sure, but it seemed very early. It's not summer yet.
Not.
But, you know, speaking of sustainability and the environment, we got a really new, interesting product here in the store. It's the only one I've ever heard of. I mean, you really have to see it to believe it. But we got a plastic bottle, a wine in a plastic bottle. I don't even know what to call it. But it is a Sauvignon Blanc from South Africa, and the maker is Tangletree. And it's a funny product. I was really hesitant to bring it in because it's just, you know, so non-conventional to put wine in a plastic bottle. But when you think about, you know, how much energy it takes to create glass, to melt it down and to make it into this form, and the debate between, you know, screw tops and corks, and is it sustainable to harvest cork? Are screw tops better for the environment, better for the wine? Well, this bottle is completely the opposite of anything you know. It's a plastic bottle with a screw top. And it's not bad. It's a good price. It's $8.99. but I do wonder what will happen as our environment changes. You know, are there certain things that we'll have to, you know, shift with it, some of our resources that we use, the materials?
Well, so we could dedicate a whole show to that.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
But, I mean, in a plastic bottle, that just doesn't seem right on so many levels. But...
doesn't seem right, right? You know, and that's, I asked a lot of our customers. I was speaking with our the rep at from our wine distributor. And I was like, yeah, I just don't know. Like, I don't think people are going to be into it. But it's selling like crazy. People want to bring it to the pool. They want to bring it to the park. You know, they want to go camping with it.
Well, I hope
it's a really light bottle.
They recycle it instead of just
tossing it. You can recycle it. It's BPA free. You know, it's the good plastic, they say.
okay.
And it's just a little easier. Plastic is bad, period,
bad,
right?
Bad
but
plastic.
If you're going to use plastic and you recycle it, they say that potentially could be better than glass. So we'll see. You know, I won't really know how I feel until I see more of this. I wonder if they're even going to put beer in plastic bottles, right? Like, what's next?
I know when there was the discussion of paper versus plastic bags, one of the pros in favor of plastic bags was it was less expensive to ship them because they weighed less. So it was the impact on the environment came out about the same because there were lower fuel costs involved in getting them to their final destination.
There are so many things at play. I got to talk to you, Kyle, about we had a guy come in, one of our farmers, who is buying a lot of his product on Amazon Prime because he's so close to the distribution center. So it's actually an easier footprint for him. He's making less of a footprint by ordering from them versus, you know, UNFI, who's a huge distributor. But either which way.
Yes,
we have plastic bottle wine.
Okay. All right. Well, moving right along. Anything new in the grab-and-go case, the prepared foods?
What have we got in the grab-and-go case? Oh, so we're going to start to try and do some wraps and salads and things. We've been talking about it, and we're looking more into that. But we're bringing back some of the summer staples, or just, you know, home-style staples. So the collard greens are back, which I sure did miss. I love those collard greens. And they're back here. You know, if you've got your own recipe, by all means, you've got to try, you know, Trina and Rachel's collard greens, especially if you're doing a cookout. They're phenomenal. They're perfect. They're vegan, and they don't use any animal fat, and they're just so flavorful. They're incredible.
All right, then. Well, Casey, please remind our listeners where they can find all this delicious food.
Yeah, absolutely. Please come see us at 2006 Rhode Island Avenue. We're on 20th and Rhode Island. And you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. A few different handles there, but definitely just check out Good Food Market DC. And we're online at goodfoodmarkets.com.
And just a reminder to listeners, Good Food Market has a Good Neighbors Reward program. So if you live in the immediate vicinity, or I don't know what your criteria is, Casey, but you know, check them out.
It's a Good Neighbor Reward program. You don't even have to be, you know, in the same zip code. Just if you come on through and you want to sign up.
All right, sounds great. Thanks a lot, Casey. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kyle. Take care.
Now it is time to get to the most important part of the day, and Rodney back there on the keyboard, he's going to laugh, I think, when I say this, that I didn't do this on purpose, but you know, Michelle's always teasing me about my love of ice cream over vegetables, etc. And so is it coincidence or not that she's not here today? And guess who I've got in the studio?
It is odd, Kyle. I'll just say that on the chef's behalf. It's kind of odd.
I think it's good timing. I think it's perfect. So I get this. I get these guests all to myself to talk about Rita's Ice all hour long, or however long we talk. So I want to welcome Charnita Walker and Angela Brock of the Rhode Island Avenue Rita's Ice. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Rita's is the most popular space on Rhode Island Avenue from spring to fall. So yay to both of you. So let's talk a little bit about the history. How did you guys choose Rita's Ice as a business? How did you get into this?
Okay.
Charnita?
Well, we found out about Rita's. I went to college at Penn State. So Rita's was founded in Philadelphia. A lot of my friends from Penn State, they reside in Philadelphia. So I would go visit them a lot, and they would like, I'm like you, I like all things good and sweet and creamy. So they would say, oh, we have to take Charnita to Rita's. I'm like, what is it? And they're like, well, we just have to take you. We went, I tasted it, and I was like, wow, we don't have anything like this in D.C. So they said, well, actually, it's a local franchise and, you know, blah, blah, blah. They told me a little bit about it. So I said, wow, I'm going to look into this, and maybe we could bring something like that to D.C. And I told my sister about it, and from my enthusiasm, she was like, wow, we can do this. So it worked out really perfectly. She had never tasted the product before. She had never heard of it. But just based upon my excitement of the product and how the franchise worked, she said, let's do it. And we did. And that was back in 2005. Well, this was in 2004. Mm-hmm. But by the time we got all of our permits and everything, it was 2005 when we actually started the business.
Mm. And Angela, when Charnita came up to you and said, hey, let's open an ice cream stand, what did you think?
You know, it was interesting. We had prior to that, we had been talking about investing in something. We didn't know what, but we wanted to invest in something. We wanted to do something else other than that 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. And so when she brought this idea to me, I had no idea what it was. But, you know, given that sometimes you listen to the older sister listens to the little sister.
Sometimes.
And so there was one in Crofton, Maryland, and she took me out there to try it first. You know, her excitement about the product led me to say, okay, let's go. So she drove. We went to Crofton, talked to the owner of that franchise, and we were there for probably more than an hour talking to him. In that hour we were there, I ate two products and took one away with me. So if that wasn't convincing enough for me to say, let's give it a shot. And, you know, just kind of to piggyback on what you were saying earlier about your the person that wrote into you, you know, one of the things before brick and mortar is to put that business plan together. You
Absolutely.
Have to have a solid business plan. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. Charnita, with her background or her education in business logistics and mine in business management and marketing, together we put together a great business plan, presented it, you know, in Philadelphia to the franchisors at Rita's Water Ice. And first time they actually turned us down.
Really?
Yeah. They turned us down
Fools.
The first time.
Fools.
Only to say that they were not familiar with the D.C. market. But as native Washingtonians, Charnita and I did not give up. And that's what you have to do as an entrepreneur or potential entrepreneur. You can't give up. You have to. If it's your dream, if it's your passion, you take that and move it forward. And so what we did was we went back, and logistically, she tweaked our business plan a little bit more. And, you know, meaning looking at the demographics in our area. I mean, we grew up in Brooklyn right off of Michigan Avenue and Randolph Street. So we know the area.
Yeah.
This is our area. This is our home. And so who could represent your area better than you?
Right.
So we tweaked our business plan, took it back up there again to them. And, you know, with our determination, they accepted.
Very, very impressive.
Yeah.
So you did a full you did a market analysis.
We did.
Yeah. And so did they give you feedback at the first refusal? Did they give you feedback beyond, oh, we just don't know anything about the D.C. market?
I think it had a lot to do with that. They didn't understand. We knew things that will work that they didn't know. At the time, Rita's wasn't as widespread as they are now. Mm-hmm. So the majority of the stores were up in the Philadelphia, New Jersey areas. So they were totally blind to this area. And again, like Angela said, by us being from here, we knew what would work. And marketing played a big deal. So they went ahead and they took a chance on what we knew. They were going by specifically by numbers, and we were going by what we knew. And as far as marketing, when we opened here, no one in the District of Columbia knew what is Rita's, what is water ice. You know, some people have heard of Italian ice, but they were like, what is water ice? So it was like we were bringing something new. So Angela's really great with marketing. So we did a fantastic job with getting the word out to DC, what is Rita's? And so now it's a household word in the city. So
there may be two people left in DC that haven't had Rita's. Mm-hmm. So for those two people and people that are outside the area that may not have heard of Rita's yet, what is water ice?
Water ice is a combination of just what you said, water, sugar, so it's sweet, although we do have sugar-free flavors, mm-hmm. which are plenty delicious. So water, sugar, a lot of fruits, and a lot of flavors. So just as simple as that, that's what it is. So we have the water ice, and then we also have the frozen custard, which a lot of the older clientele is familiar with what custard is.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so and it really takes them back.
That makes me
back.
An older clientele.
Yes, I'm well, like, it takes them back, the young and older. But it takes them back, especially now with the new lemon custard that we have, which is one of your favorites.
So good.
My favorites. We have lemon, banana, strawberry. So there's something for everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you do really interesting things mixing the ice and the custard.
We do. So that would be a gelati, which layers custard, ice custard. We have the mistos, which blends the liquid custard with the Italian ice flavors. And then we've also started to do a lot of traditional products like just the plain old nice creamy milkshake, banana splits, and ice cream sundaes.
Yeah, so. You got sundaes, you got cones. I know all about that. So you opened in 2005. To great success. You know, the lines are always, you know, through the parking lot and wrapped around the sidewalk on those hot days.
Yep.
But you didn't just stop there. You guys are hustlers. You go out and make business where none exists before. So
yes, so we do.
Talk about your growth.
Okay. So, just, you know, knowing DC, I wanted to get into a venue and introduce our product. Still, even though we have been in Rhode Island Avenue forever, it seems like, we wanted to branch out and go into a sports arena. So we started out at DC United Stadium over at RFK. Mm. And we were doing all the DC United games. And that turned out to be a success. Well, from that, we courted Nationals Ballpark, and I still call the representative there every year, and you know, he knows me. People go and mention me. It's like, bring Rita's in. He's like, yeah, Angela Brock. But but you know, they haven't let us in yet. We're still knocking at the door with them. But we reached out also to Monumental Sports Network and the Verizon Center. They entertained us. We took our business plan over there and we still have this great relationship with Monumental Sports Network. We even in the off seasons, they're calling us to come out and work, you know, work with them to when players go out to do charitable work or whatever, and we go and support them and we hand out free Rita's to the fans. But so we were able to get a contract together with Monumental Sports Network, and so we're there. We have two carts in the Verizon Center, one on the fourth floor, one on the first floor, and we're at every Mystics, Capitals, Wizards, concerts, you name it. Wow. We're there. If the center is open, we're there.
And so even though the the brick and mortar Rita's on Rhode Island Avenue is just open spring through early fall.
Right.
You guys are busy year round.
Yeah. The great thing about the Verizon Center now is, you know, we're open in the store March through October, and the Verizon Center only has going right now the Valor, which is the new arena football, and the Mystics. And so it's kind of light in there, which is great. Then when we shut down in October, the Caps and the Wizards are picking up their season. Yeah. And we're in there sometimes 3 weeks straight, every single day the week. And so where the brick and mortar here on Rhode Island Avenue is closed, you still see that gate up and us in there because we're making ice to take down. And it's heavy in the wintertime. Oh, yeah. So they balance each other off tremendously. So we're not sweating to be at the Verizon and at the store. Only now, well, when they were in the playoffs, it was a sweaty time, you know, for us. But, you know, now it's kind of like a slow season for the Verizon Center and a big season for us here on Rhode Island Avenue.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, one of the many benefits that Rita's brings to Rhode Island Avenue is kind of a gathering place for folks in the evenings and on the weekends. You know, because my office is just right there on the corner too. You know, when I walk past there, there's people of all ages. There's people pushing strollers, and I see people talking to each other in line, and maybe they knew each other before, maybe they didn't, but you know, then people are sitting there and enjoying their ice cream, hanging out, strolling up and down the corridor with their ice cream in their hand or their water ice. The Rita's, I'm just going to say the Rita's to be blanket because we need to get the brand out there too. And so Rita's is just, it's one of those really important, I think, anchor businesses on the corridor because it's such a gathering place and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
It is a landmark because when I give people instructions to get to the office, I say, you know where the Rita's is?
Three doors away from Rita's.
And they're like, yeah, I know where Rita's is. Well, that, we're right there. So thanks for that. And you're also a great source for summer jobs for youth in the neighborhood.
Yes, we are. So we employ youth in the neighborhood throughout D.C. So that's year-round because they're also able to work when we close in October. We have a lot of students that we employ. So some of them only want to work on the weekends. And so we leave that option open to them once the store closes and they're back in school because they can come and they can work at the Verizon Center. But once we open, they're ready. It's about to be warm. They want new spring clothes and things like that. So we talk to their parents and it feels really good because we have parents that tell us, you know, I've seen a big change in my child since they've been working there. They want to clean up their room more. They care more about, you know, what they're doing.
I know.
They build great friendships there with other kids. We've been really blessed over the last 13 years to have really great kids. They come back. We've had kids that have become lawyers. They've finished law school. They've gotten married. They have kids. So they're doing really, really well, and they always come back. They share their pictures. They send their college graduation pictures. So it's really great, you know, to make us feel like you're doing more than giving someone a job. We also mentor them as well. We help them with their resume. We help them with school. So it's really great.
Oh, that is phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
You get a lot when you come in, you know. People come up to our window and they say, you know, oh, the customer service is just great. But, you know, to see behind the scenes is phenomenal because, again, some of these kids come in, they've never had a job at all. And even with the interview, you know, some don't come looking that great to their interviews. We hire them and then we educate them on how to go to the next level of interviews or the next level of whatever it is that they want to do. There's also, you know, when they're there, you have kids that are motivated to go to college and those that are not. But before the end of the season, those that were not are probably motivated, and a lot of them have been motivated to now want to go to college.
At least they're giving it a second thought.
It is amazing to just hear them sometimes when we're in the back, you know, talking. They're up front talking, and you can just hear the relationships building, you know, or the advice given from one teen to another. Wow. And that's phenomenal. Never did I think that we would be actual mentors. You know, our goal was to open up a business, but we're more than just that.
Oh yeah,
we are.
And you know, I know that that this is a franchise of a larger company.
Go ahead.
But that really speaks to the independent nature of each of those franchises. That
correct.
You guys, this is, you know, way above and beyond what so many opportunities would look like, say, if they were working at a national big box store for a summer job.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't get that kind of mentoring. They wouldn't get that kind of support. And that is just phenomenal. And another reason why folks want to support our Rhode Island Avenue Ritas, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you for doing that. That's
yes.
what an amazing service, and what an amazing experience for you to witness and mm-hmm. have those folks, those young kids, young men and women come mm-hmm. back to you and show you what a success their life has become.
Yes.
They're obviously holding you somewhat responsible for that because they're coming back and showing you, you know, yeah. with
they
pride
do.
What they've
it
done.
Is, and it is just, I mean, it's amazing to see them when they come back and how much they've matured. And they all say the same thing. It's because of you, Miss Angela. It's because of you, Miss Shanita. You yeah. know, it's really heartwarming. Oh, and, you know,
it's very rewarding just to see that.
No yeah. kidding. Makes it all is. those three weeks of every day at the Verizon Center. Okay. Right.
Yes.
Oh man. So You are a part of it. You're a franchise,
yes.
But is this considered? You individually own this franchise, right?
Correct.
Right. So, do you own any other branches? Is this your only location other than
Verizon? Just this and the two stands inside the Verizon Center.
Wow,
that's enough.
It is.
Unless you have a cloning device.
But seriously, you guys must have just—you must have shook up Philly a little bit, because then suddenly there were more Ritas in the area, right?
Yes,
yeah.
And they were sending them to us. You know, they were sending those potential franchisees to us, you know, for advice, for education, for mm-hmm. training. They were all sending them to the DC girls, as they called us.
And,
you know,
and y'all getting a cut of that, right?
No.
All right, we got to have to talk about that now. You got a little discount on your franchise fee for all these extra services.
That's a good idea. Mm. Thank you. We will take that to the next conference.
Please do. Please do. I mean, seriously, if you're going to be spending time, because you don't yeah. have a lot of time.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, we were, you know, we cracked the mold. We brought it to Washington, D.C. And so, you know, folks that were coming in, even in Maryland, Virginia, they came to us. They sent them to us to learn how to open a franchise and run a franchise and all of that. So, you know, it's rewarding. But we tell people, don't go by what you see when you walk up to that window, because it's much more than that.
Yeah,
it is. The ordering process, the hiring process, the maintenance, the payroll process, all of that. It's a whole lot of work, you know, and you have to, one, love your product, mm-hmm. but also love what you do and the people that work for you. Because what we get, our treat is a desired treat. Of course, we're not one of the major food groups. We're not a superfood.
Yes, you are. You're one of my major food
but,
groups.
You know, people come to Rita's Water Ice because they've had a great day and they want to reward themselves. Or they've had a bad day and they want to reward themselves, mm-hmm. you know. So we get all types of people that come to the window. You know, we see it all the time. And, you know, you get remember the year we had a husband who came on the way from home from work all the time. And this is when we had the cool cards, and he would get his cool card punched, and he would say, you know, you didn't see me. If I come back later, you do not see me, because he would come back with the family.
Uh-huh.
Right. And you know, and they'd see like extra punches on the card. But, you know, whenever he walked up, you know, it's like, oh, how you guys doing? you know.
I haven't seen you forever.
Yes, yes. Knowing that we just saw him about maybe 45 minutes to an hour ago. But, you know, and then, you know, people that are meeting the other, you know, the father is meeting the mother and they're dropping, exchanging the kid. Then one of them get the treat. You know, the kid wins all the time because they get to come to Rita's and get a treat. So we see everything. Like you said, you know, they're sitting outside enjoying the weather, enjoying themselves and having a family moment, together moment.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And you know, this, you aren't just good neighbors for your employees and for those of us who eat every Rita's we can. In August, you work with an organization to help pass out backpacks for
the backpack drive. Yeah, with OK's Foundation, we do the backpack drive giveaway, and that turned from, you know, went from a small just, you know, come pick up your backpack at Rita's to a full blown day of activities,
right,
with, you know, vendors coming in, teaching them, the Kaiser Permanente, you know, medical van coming in. That's a huge day. It's always it's just turned into a huge block party almost,
yeah.
You know, and then of course with the Fall Fest with you, that's another huge event that is so driven by the community. And we hear from the residents. They talk to us. They tell us how they feel, you know, because they remember the days when that parking lot was empty and that building was vacant and that parking lot was being used for something other than, you know, parking. Yeah. And so,
well, there's parking and there's parking.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, the neighbors are excited. We try and keep a great relationship with them, being, you know, very respectable. We try to keep the sound barrier down, all of that, the trash down. The cleanup crew that you all have for Main Street, they're wonderful. Because when we get there in the morning, the lot is clean. But it's so funny because we try to keep it that way so that they don't have a lot to do, because we do have folks that still want to drop, you know, that little red and white cup on the ground, on the grass behind, on Kearney Street. So we try to keep that clear as possible. We have no rodents, thank God, knock on wood.
Yeah, I always, because I live just right around the corner too, and I was, you know, instead of the, what is the seeing the first robins of spring, I see the first Rita's napkin of spring blowing. I'm like, all right, Rita's is here. and so what, do you have the date now for the backpack giveaway for the summer?
It's August 26th, I believe. I know that it's usually the third Saturday of August, but he pushed it back to the fourth Saturday of August because something else major in the city was going on. I can't remember what he told me, but he called about 2 weeks ago and said, can they go to the fourth Saturday? And, you know, of course, that's fine.
Sure, sure. So fourth Saturday of August, we think that's the 26th for the backpack giveaway, the OK's
Correct.
Foundation,
right?
Which is a great foundation in and of itself. They do a lot of work for area youth and sports,
right?
But this backpack giveaway is just blown up.
It has.
The guy that manages that, whose name is
Marvin Tucker.
Thank you. I knew his last name was Tucker. I couldn't remember his first name. Mr. Tucker was telling me last year that they were talking about like 1,500, 2,500 backpacks in one giveaway.
Yeah.
Whew,
and they come and get every last one of them, too.
Yeah. And it's full
of
stuff.
And the kids. And that's the wonderful thing about it is, I remember our first year, it was just the backpack. But now they're loaded with school supplies.
Yeah.
Each backpack is loaded with school supplies. And it's amazing.
God, it makes such a difference for so many
kids. It does.
Yeah. And we understand you moved up the Fall Fest, which is great because it's always when we're closed. And so now it's going to be in
September
while we're
30th.
Open.
Well, yeah. So as one of the newer Main Streets, when we had to choose dates for our Fall Festival, we had to respect the fall festivals that were happening in the rest of the city by other Main Street programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that always left us with like the last possible date before the snow season arrived. Not that we probably are ever going to have snow again, but anyway, So yeah, the one of the other main streets moved theirs up for some reason, so we could move ours up. Not asking too many questions, but yeah, this year is going to be on September 30th, Saturday, September 30th.
Wonderful.
From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you guys were open for Porch Fest this year.
Yes.
So Porch Fest was, man, that was off the charts busy for everybody.
It really was. It was a beautiful day too.
Yeah, and I saw many, many people listening, even as far down as Carolina Kitchen was one of our stages. Mm-hmm. When I went down there to take some pictures, there were people with Rita's cups in their hands.
Great.
So you were making the rounds all the way up there. So what's next for Rita's?
Well, what's next is we're about to go into summer. I know today and yesterday it feels like summer, but summer actually starts June 21st. So we're getting into summer. We're pushing some new flavors we have, which are Twizzler and Hawaiian Punch, which is great for summer, the Hawaiian Punch. So we're going to be doing that. Again, we have our new custard flavor. So just doing a lot of different things and promotions going on with those and just having fun and working.
And the all-natural banana. We have all-natural flavors now, too. So for folks that really like that natural, feel to their foods, then that's another good alternative to sugar-free, too.
You know, I firmly believe that when it comes to ice cream and custard, just it doesn't matter. Just eat it all. okay, so again, for those two people in the world that don't know where you're located, can you give our listeners your location and contact info?
Absolutely. We are located at 2318 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast, near the corner of Rhode Island Avenue and South Dakota Avenue.
Yep.
And then our website is www.ritasfranchises.com/Rhode Island Avenue, written all the way out. And then we're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as DC Ritas on Instagram. Our Facebook page is Ritas Rhode Island Ave. And on Twitter, DC_Rita. So you can find us any way you like.
All right. We love that. You got a phone number if anybody wants to call. Because you also, looking at your website here, you cater. You do a birthday club.
Yes.
We got to talk about that because my birthday's coming up here. you get a free birthday treat. Exclusive offers and cool Rita's news in your inbox.
Yes, you do. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Can't beat that.
So, and you cater for parties, events. I know you guys have been very generous in providing Rita's as an option for us when we've done big events. So thank you for that. So people can just visit your website.
You can shoot an email to us at dcritas@comcast.net, or you can call us at the store. We're happy to talk to you, and the number at the store is 202-636-7482. So we do a lot of work with schools. It's coming up the end of the school year. They have their fun days. We do a lot with DC Public Schools, the charter schools. We do a lot with the colleges and the universities in the area. Offices, governments, everybody loves Rita's.
Of course they do.
Sharnita is a Banneker alum, and I am a McKinley Tech alum. So we are local.
You keep it at home.
We keep it home.
All right. Well, Sharnita and Angela, thank you so much for joining us today. We love us some good Rita's and cannot wait to, I'll be back down there later today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, Kyle, thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you. Okay, that wraps up another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. As always, thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week with some other great guests. And have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.